Mazzara and Parra project to Amimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay Lip scare ya. Machado or Bono or no.
And here we go on a Thursday morning. Hey, guess what? We got some pitchers who pitched pretty well last night, and a lot of them were available. Right? Cool. How cool was that?
Yep. Well, I think the pitchers united and said, let's prove Adam wrong. And they did it last night. They said, look at all of us pitchers that are available, and we pitch good.
They're just setting Adam up for another Pitching Stinks podcast. You know it.
Yeah, probably.
Pitching is awesome. It was awesome last night.
It was. It wasn't so good during the day. You know, your Archie Bradleys and your David Prices and your Dallas Keuchels and your Cody Reeds. It wasn't so good. But at night, we rebounded, including James Shields. Even he rebounded. And we welcome you to the show. This is Fantasy Baseball Today. You can email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. At the end of the show, we are grading some trades. We have a lot to get to today. I also want you to listen to Heath and Chris on the Daily Fantasy Live podcast, along with Mike McClure, who is killing it with the WOBA model. I'll tell you more about that in a second. But on the Daily Fantasy Live podcast, they gave out some advice, and Heath paid off yesterday for one of your listeners.
Oh, we had a listener won big last night, and I don't know this guy's actual name, so Crazy Lazy Doom is his Twitter handle. And he sent us a tweet this morning, listened to yesterday's podcast, then went with your pitcher and stack recommendations. Thank Heath. Thanks, Heath. And a screenshot of his DraftKings lineup where he won
$1,500. $1,500.
Yes. Awesome. And that was with James Shields, who we told him to play last night.
Oh, really? You were that was your
contrarian
play?
I'm sure everybody was doing that, right?
Everybody was playing James Shields?
I'm sure.
Obviously not.
I wouldn't have. No, I didn't trust it.
That was Hashtag sarcasm.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I mean, look, there, you know, I could see a case to be made. They're playing the Twins, but anyway, also Mike McClure, he's got the WOBA model for picking games, and just another big night for him. If you go to sportsline.com/podcast, it's only $10 a month. If you want to pick some games, bet some games, Mike McClure is up like 30 units or something like that in 3 weeks. I don't remember exactly what it is, but it's insane. And, he's just, I don't know, he's winning like 70% of his games right now, and he's got this new mathematical model based on weighted on base average. So you can see that on sportsline.com. Let's talk seasonal fantasy baseball right now. And I want to start out with the fringy starting pitchers, okay? Starting with Jameson Taillon at 76% owned, down to Daniel Norris at 25% owned, a lot of guys in between. I'm just going to read some names. Some of them were good, some not as good, but nothing horrible here, except for maybe Peavy. Taillon, 6 innings, 1 run, 6 strikeouts. His best start, probably, right? Yeah, best start.
Yeah, very, very encouraging against a good offense.
Mm-hmm.
Edinson Volquez, this shocked me.
Oh, this was the best of the night, because I think on the Sportsline podcast, your pick was the Cardinals over.
Cardinals because, team total, yeah, over 4.
Yes, because you get the best team in baseball against right-handed pitching.
Right.
You've got a pitcher that's been awful lately. Mm-hmm. You've got Kendrys freaking Morales playing right field, and you know what? Fooled you.
Yeah, fooled you. Very good. So Volquez delivers a good start, one of his only good road starts all year. Matt Moore, excellent start against the Red Sox, and I think there's a good little home road narrative going here. 6.43 ERA on the road for Moore, and much better at home, so I guess he's just a Rays pitcher. James Shields rebounded. Archie Bradley, not bad. Jake, not great. Jake Peavy, defense was terrible behind him. Junior Guerra, he's got a 3.25 ERA. He's got 60 strikeouts and 69 and a third, a 1.07 whip, and he's been pretty good in his last 4. Cody Reed has not been. Sean Manaea pitched yesterday. Daniel Norris pitched yesterday. So I've given a lot of names, guys. Who are you looking to pick up in your leagues?
Well, I would say Daniel Norris, but somebody already beat me to him in our podcast points league, which
really?
Is pretty shallow league, yeah. So that's a bummer for me, but I no excuse because, you know, I could have picked him up right after or even during the start yesterday against the Marlins when he struck out 8 batters in 5 innings. And just the 1 walk, that's the thing I'm actually more excited about than the than the 8 strikeouts, because Norris has gotten strikeouts pretty consistently throughout his career, except for last year when he was dealing with a cancer diagnosis. So I have to think that was a factor. And control and fly balls, they've been problems for Norris. But in the minors, he's been improving in those areas. So I'm pretty excited about Daniel Norris.
Well, they're guaranteeing him one more start for the Tigers. Not necessarily anything after that, right, for Daniel Norris?
Yeah, I mean, they're doing this on, yeah, like you said, kind of a start-by-start basis. But Anibal's back in the bullpen. I'm not really sure where the threat is at this point to Norris's claim to a spot. And I just think he'll perform his way into a secure situation there.
Now, look, I'll speak for Al. Obviously, Jameson Taillon, you like better than Daniel Norris. But
yeah,
he's owned in 50% more leagues than Daniel Norris. So when I said, who are you looking to pick up? Al's probably just talking about guys who are actually available. But
right. That's, yeah. And I mean, it was, yeah. If the question was, you know, who do I like the best out of this group, then that's a tough one. But yeah, Taillon and Bradley would certainly be, you know, probably at the top of that discussion for me.
All right. How about you, Heath? Who are your favorites here?
You know, Taillon will be my favorite. I think Shields and Volquez kind of fall into the same category, that it's just going to depend on who their matchup is. There's no way I would have started Edinson Volquez at St. Louis, but if he has good matchup at home, I feel pretty good about starting him again. There was a chance before that start, I thought maybe that he just finally completely lost it. But I like, of the guys that are not owned that much, I think I'd rather pick up Sean Manaea than I would Daniel Norris.
All right. Let me come back to that. Just, well, tell me why. Manaea over Morris. Then they're both Norris. They're both owned in less than 30% of leagues.
Right. This is a pretty encouraging start. His first time back off the disabled list against a very good offense in San Francisco. I thought I was more excited about Manaea coming into the year than I was Norris. We've just seen Manaea fail a little bit more. I just feel like there's a better chance, and there's a non-zero chance, that Daniel Norris turns into a top 40 starting pitcher the rest of the season. I think there's a better chance that Manaea does.
All right, let me pour some rain on this parade. Be the pitching sucks guy.
Okay.
So for Norris, he hasn't even, you know, his previous start was good too. So it's two good start, or encouraging starts in a row, but he did give up 8 hits in this one against the Marlins in 5 innings, and he hasn't pitched more than 5 innings in either of those two starts. And Manaea, I think, you know, you keep seeing incremental progress from Manaea, but the same problem keeps popping back up. And that is, opponents are hitting .396 with a .446 on base and a .708 slugging percentage against Manaea the third time through the order. And in this game, he pitched 5 scoreless innings, got 2 outs, gave up a double to Buster Posey, and they removed him in the 6th. So he ended up pitching 5 2/3 scoreless innings, but I doubt his ability to get through the third the order 3 times. I guess that's my issue.
Well, let's be clear. How many pitchers do you feel great about getting through the order a third time?
How many pitchers can you start if you don't feel good about them getting through the order a third time?
To get through the order the third time, you've got to face 27 hitters.
Well, yeah, completely.
But, right. Well, like getting... I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, to get through an entire order the third time, but
right,
to get through the top of the order or the first 4 or 5 hitters, that's like the 6th inning a lot of time, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't think when you're looking in that starting pitcher 40-plus range, that's something you hammer a guy for.
I just think he's been
most
so bad,
anybody after
though,
starting pitcher 40 can't.
But he's been so bad in that situation. You know, like, it's an extreme. They're
no,
slugging
that's true.
750 or whatever against him in that situation.
With a number that extreme, I'm probably more likely to think that's going to regress.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's been progress there. What about Matt Moore, guys? Oh, I think, Heath, you said matchups with him?
I didn't say anything about Matt Moore, but that's what I would have said if I was going to say something.
you actually said it, but all 3 of us would say that.
Yes.
And okay, he profiled that way coming into the season. So it's pretty easy to buy into it and not just say, well, you know, it's just how it's been going so far this season.
Compare Archie Bradley and Junior Guerra.
Huh. That's funny.
I mean, I mean, they're not at all similar, so you could break that down a lot of ways. But, I mean, look, I would just rather have Bradley. I think that the issue maybe that they both have in common is that you can't necessarily trust either to go deep into a game.
If you were telling me – Junior Gear has gone deep, though. He's gone deep over and over and over again this year. I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense.
I'll have to look that up because I didn't think it was over and over. I thought it was more the outlier.
Well, okay. I don't know what we're considering going deep either. But I mean, he's had a lot more quality start type starts than Bradley has for sure. I think Bradley is the guy that you'd rather have on your bench, hoping that he turns into a really good pitcher. If I have to start one of these two next week and my life's on the line, I'm starting Guerra because I don't trust Archie Bradley.
Yeah, I don't trust Guerra that much either, to be honest. So I just prefer Bradley overall. But I am now at the point where I've included Bradley among the group of pitchers who have kind of taken it up a notch this year and who I've been moving up my rankings.
Right.
And I'm now at the point where I'm thinking of doing a little bit of a U-turn with Bradley and setting him back down 5 to 10 spots in the rankings and keeping them stashed. And, you know, and if this continues maybe in a week or two, maybe drop Bradley because the control's not been that great. This was an excellent matchup against the Phillies.
Yeah.
It was a good start that I thought was going to be a great start. So it's not really a performance that's changing my mind and say, oh, well, I was thinking of dropping Bradley in my rankings and benching him. But, you know, now, you know, he's a guy I want to start again.
Yeah, well, the problem with this list is the guy that we like the most, Jameson Taillon. He's got the toughest matchups next week in a two-star week. Taillon is at St. Louis and home against Chicago next week.
Chicago Cubs?
Yes, the Cubs. Yuck. Do you guys trust him in those?
No. Nope.
Because I don't. Yeah, no?
I could see starting him in a points league. I think between the two starts, he'll do enough. I mean, he could get slammed, and I'll be honest, I haven't taken a look at the two-star pitchers for next week. I'll be doing that later today, but depending on what the options are, he's somebody who I might gamble on, and, you know, between the two starts, do enough to make it worthwhile.
Yeah, Sean Manaea at Minnesota, at Houston. Daniel Norris, if he gets two starts, at Cleveland, at Toronto. I wouldn't trust him there.
Yeah, I'd say Manaea is the best of those three.
Yeah.
I'll agree.
All right, guys. Let's get to the big news here. Lorenzo Cain's on the DL with a hamstring injury. Brett Eibner was called up, but Kendrys Morales started in right field for Kansas City. Do you expect that to be the norm? I guess it doesn't really matter. He's going to be in the lineup one way or the other. They just didn't have a DH in this game.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that kind of bothers me is I think everybody probably sat Morales this week because they had 5 games in National League Park. And the way he played I figured last night would go terribly for Morales, and then that would never happen again. But he actually made a running catch at the wall. Like, StatCast sent out an update on a Kendrys Morales catch.
The whole game?
Not the whole game.
But did you watch the end, though? Did you stay up?
No.
Yeah. Oh, no. Boy.
I stayed up for, because I think it was the 10th when the Royals went up 2-1, and then the Cardinals tied it again in the bottom of the 10th, and I was like, yeah, I'm done.
Was it the 10th or the 11th? Because I thought Sinwon Oh pitched the 10th.
Another win for Chen Min Wong, though, 5-0 now.
It was the 10th when Kansas City went up, but maybe pitched the 11th. So, yeah, Clayton Kershaw, we don't know yet. They're being a little vague about it. He might make his next start, which is tomorrow. He might not. Wish I could tell you more. Steven Moya is back, and he homered, and he's 28% owned. Is Steven Moya under-owned?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would say for sure.
Joe Panik is on the 7-day concussion DL. Hanley Ramirez left with side discomfort. He's day-to-day. Would you drop Hanley Ramirez, even if he were healthy, for Steven Moya?
No,
I wouldn't. And I'm assuming I'm the low person on Hanley, probably in our group.
Yeah, I think he's top 40.
Yeah.
Dallas Keuchel did not. Who's top 40? Hanley or
Hanley?
Top 40 outfielder. Okay. Dallas Keuchel did not like the strike zone from Jerry Davis yesterday. More on Keuchel in a second. Brian McCann dealing with patellar tendonitis, and he was grabbing his knee apparently after homering in the 8th. I gave up on the Yankees yesterday. I am ashamed of my actions, And yeah, I missed the entire comeback. You don't get comebacks like that very often. And I turned off the TV with some profanities and had no idea until it was over.
You know, you're a pretty bad fan for doing that, but I don't think you're as bad a fan as I am.
But what'd you do?
Because I had the Marlins and Tigers on yesterday. I was writing about Daniel Norris while he was making a start, which probably wasn't, you know, the best move in the first place. But he was sort of struggling in the first and second innings, and I was writing glowing things about him. And I was rooting against the Marlins because I cared more about my narrative than I did my team.
I could see that. I mean, that's a tough thing that fantasy owners have to deal with every day. But, and I have Sam Dyson in my favorite league, and he got crushed. Carlos Beltran might not play the rest of the week. Billy Hamilton was left. He was checked for a concussion. He's already missed a week this season with a concussion. How cool is this? Madison Bumgarner is going to hit today in an AL park. They are not going to use the DH. And, oh, man, that's like the first time since the 70s that a team is intentionally doing this. Very cool.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And, yeah, I mean, the Giants are so banged up and yeah. I think pretty thin bench-wise. I'm guessing Bumgarner's probably their best option.
Trevor Story re-aggravated his finger injury Tuesday, and he sat yesterday, so yeesh, we'll check on that. Steven Piscotty day-to-day with a sprained ankle. Are you guys worried that Carlos Martinez was pulled after 89 pitches because he's been a little tired from his recent workload, and this was a guy who had a huge innings increase in 2015 compared to 2014? So Carlos Martinez, again, very few strikeouts. Any red flags that we're seeing despite a glowing ERA?
Yeah, it's still not a lot of strikeouts either, although that doesn't concern me too much because the overall performance has been good for Martinez. This is a little concerning, but so many times something like this happens and it's said it's done as a precaution, and it really is no more than that. So it's early to get panicked about this, I think.
Yeah, I trust the Cardinals to be making good decisions. I'm glad they're protecting him.
Chris Davis with a K missed yesterday's game with a bruised shoulder. All right, new game here, new game that we're going to play.
Mm.
You see that third slash line in the random number game? You can cross that out. That was Sean Manaea, so we already used that. So here's what we got. I got three random numbers, actually more than three, but three like slash lines or ratios or something, and you have to match them with a player.
Okay.
And the players are Adam Jones, Yoenis Cespedes, and Tim Anderson. Okay. So let the listeners think about it a little
Adam bit. Jones, Yoenis Cespedes, and Tim Anderson.
Yes.
Okay.
So the first number here is 319, 358, 607 slash line. 319 batting average, 358, 607 in 32 games with 11 home runs and 32 runs scored. 32 runs in 32 games.
Is that 32 games all year or last 32 games or...
You know what? I don't want to give you too many specifics, but it's
yeah,
not, it's
I'm pretty sure this is Adam Jones.
Okay, I was going to say that was Yoenis Cespedes' first 32 games, and since then he's not been near as good.
What do you think? That is Adam Jones. What do you think it is for Adam Jones?
His last 32 games.
It is, but there's one other thing about it, something about those 32 games. I'm not even positive that it's entirely his last 32 games, but it's 32 games in a certain situation that you would find on his splits page.
Leading off.
Adam Jones has, what is this, a 965 OPS with 32 runs in 32 games. That's a record-setting pace. Do you think there's anything to this hot streak which has coincided with him batting leadoff?
I think he's good. I
yeah.
think he's been good for many, many years.
I mean, maybe there is just something about the change that cleared his head or whatever, and he's gotten into a groove. If I were the Orioles, I probably wouldn't mess with that, but
right.
Bottom line, I just do think that Jones is a good hitter.
So Jones has now gotten his numbers up to his slash line anyway, almost exactly what it was last season. In 2015, he hit 269, this year 267, 308 on base last year, this year 318, and the slugging percentage 1 point apart, 474 last year, 473 this year. The difference, guys, his walk to strikeout ratio is the second best of his career. So he's got 22 walks this season in, 70-ish games. Last year he had like 25 walks all year, like 130 games. I don't remember the exact numbers, but pretty encouraging, I think. better walk to strikeout ratio for Adam Jones.
Which is good for a leadoff hitter. So
yeah,
we'll take it.
Don't know if it'll last, but we will take it. Okay, next we have 0:27. It's a ratio.
Is that Tim Anderson's walk to strikeout ratio?
Tim Anderson's walk to strikeout ratio. No walks and 27 strikeouts for Tim Anderson, who's 44% owned.
He should play for the Royals.
Yeah, right.
But when you're hitting like he is, why would you walk?
Well, he's not hitting that well. He's hitting .293.
Well, with some power.
Yeah.
Not a lot of stolen bases, so it's bizarro, Tim Anderson. But
doubles are better than walks. No, he's going to crash hard.
Well, that was what I was getting at. Since being called up, Tim Anderson is batting .293 with a .500 slugging. 3 homers, 2 steals. Again, no walks, 27 strikeouts. That makes him the number 20 shortstop in points, number 14 in Roto, since his call-up. So he hasn't even really been that good.
Now, when Whit Merrifield was going so long without a walk, his response was, nobody thinks I'm any good. They keep throwing me strikes. I'll walk when they don't throw me strikes. Maybe that's what Tim Anderson's approach is.
Maybe, but at least Whit Merrifield was hitting like .380, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Doesn't strike out that much either.
No.
By the way, Whit Merrifield doesn't even start yesterday and gets what, like two for three or something?
Yeah.
Man, are you guys buying that? That guy.
Like just him as a player?
Or as Hudler would say, Whit is a hit.
Yes. He actually calls him Whitley.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know what to make of him, to be honest. I don't have an answer for you.
I haven't made a move for him in a 12-team mixed league. So I'm enjoying the production in the leagues where I do have him, but they're deeper leagues.
Well, I think he's already owned in 12-team roto leagues. Ours.
Yeah.
Quit? Yeah.
I don't think there's any way I'd be picking him up in a points league with standard rosters. But in roto, I don't see any reason to leave him out there. You might as well benefit from the production now.
The last number I was going to give you was Yoenis Cespedes' last 30 games in which he is batting .262 with a .319 on base and a .383 slugging percentage. Cespedes is struggling along with the rest of the Mets. And, you know, he had a little bit of a wrist injury, but he was slumping before that. What are you guys seeing here from Cespedes? Just a slump?
Just a slump. This is so reminiscent with the Mets of a year ago. Now I think they're much more banged up this year, so maybe it's more of a concern, but they weren't hitting it all middle of last season, and from August on, they did nothing but hit.
I will say score one for the narrative, because the narrative coming into this season would have told you that the Mets just spent an entire offseason celebrating their National League championship as if they won the World Series, and they were going to have...
Was that the narrative in Kansas City?
No.
Yes.
No, not in Kansas City.
I picked them to miss the playoffs on the podcast.
I picked the Nationals to win that division because... And there's a pretty long history of teams that lose in the World Series not doing well the next year.
I've said it so many times. The worst possible scenario for the Mets was them losing in the World Series. They extended their pitchers, understandably, a lot deeper than they wanted to, and it's backfiring this year. But they didn't make the wrong decision. It just didn't work out. If they had won, it would have all been worth it. All right, so you know, you mentioned the Mets actually, and I can't drop Curtis Granderson in this one league that I have him in because he's been so bad. He missed yesterday's game with a calf injury. Maybe I'm close to dropping him, but I know what he did last year.
Right, you can't drop him.
Right, he went off for like 2 or 3 months or something like that. So I wanted to ask you about 2 other guys and how much patience you have with them. One of them is AJ Reed. He is 62% owned. AJ Reed is 0-15. With 2 walks and 8 strikeouts for the Astros. And Javier Baez, every single time I come close to dropping him, he hits a home run or he steals a base. He does something that keeps him on my roster. Javier Baez is 48% owned.
What that tells me is every single time you get close to dropping him, he faces a left-handed pitcher.
You can
drop him. He can't hit righties. He's 238, 267, 405 against righties this year. 333, 404, 529 against lefties.
That's
and I just don't trust the playing time for Baez because he'll go, you know, Madden will have a week where he'll play him every day and then a week where he starts once or twice. And I think that's what's going to happen the rest of the season.
Well, I don't know. I feel like he's been playing enough lately.
He's played a ton this week because he faced a bunch of lefties.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize those splits, and that is very helpful. But it should be noted that the one league I'm keeping bias in is a 16-team league. But all right. The splits
maybe,
are helpful.
Maybe first base is jinxed for the Astros. Jonathan Singleton.
I know.
Tyler White.
I was thinking that.
But nah, it's way, way, way too early to be.
How far do you
AJ
let a
Reed.
Kid go before you send him back down? 0 for 25? 0 for 30?
Yeah, 0 for 30.
0 for 30? Okay.
I think that's what they did with Domingo Santana, right? A couple years ago.
Yeah.
Well, then we'll call him. We'll say he's at the Bon Jovi stage of that. He's halfway there. Huh?
Living on prayer.
That's right. You got it. So, guys, I confess, my FanDuel lineup wasn't very good last night. A few nights ago, it was amazing. That Teixeira night with Carlos Gonzalez homering, Trevor Bauer, big night for me. But last night, not so much. But you know what? Today's a new day. Every day, a new chance to play daily fantasy baseball on FanDuel.com. Every day, a new chance to win money and have more fun. FanDuel is great because it lets you play the game you love more often and for as little as $1. It gives you a reason to watch baseball every day and night. FanDuel lets you see how you stack up against people who love fantasy baseball. You know, you're competing against other fanatics, and you're competing against people who aren't so good, so you can take advantage of that. Big tournaments, small contests, head-to-head, a lot of different things you can do on FanDuel.com. It's easy to use, and it's really a great time, and I really highly recommend it. And if you're a new user, you can use our promo code when you sign up. That promo code is HOMERUN. One word, no spaces, HOMERUN. Win a cash prize in your first contest, or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. So go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and sign up with our promo code HOMERUN. This next category is called Pitching Stinks.
Real quick, big news on FanDuel as well.
Oh, yeah, hit me.
We've got some starting today. I don't believe they had them yesterday. If you want to try FanDuel now, you can try beginner leagues, to where people like Adam and I that have played a certain amount of contests are not eligible to play.
Oh, okay.
And you only play against new players.
That's great.
Yes.
Great. And again, that promo code's HOMERUN. That's perfect for this. Yeah, pitching stinks, guys. David Price gave up 4 runs on 9 hits with 1 walk, 10 strikeouts in 6 1/3 against, I believe, the best team in baseball against lefties in terms of OPS. Is that right, Heath? Tampa Bay?
That sounds right. I don't generally measure it in terms of OPS, so I'm not 100%
sure. I think they're
sure.
The WOBA leaders.
Are they the WOBA leaders?
Okay. Well, top two, for sure.
Okay, so good against lefties, but Price with 2 disappointing starts in a row. Last one was really terrible. Dallas Keuchel, you know, look, was it awful? No. Was it what you want from Keuchel? Not really. 6 innings, 3 runs, 2 earned. 3 walks. Again, he didn't like the strike zone. 4 strikeouts. And then I regret this. I regret a lot of things, but this I regret big time. On Monday, you know, Monday we have so much to talk about, and it's really tough to talk about all the guys who want to. I was going to say that there is nobody I want to sell high more so than Masahiro Tanaka. And he got blasted by the Rangers yesterday. And he can't pitch at home. He can't pitch on normal rest. He's only good on 5 days rest. The weird thing is the last 2 starts, he's gotten a lot of swinging strikes. Actually, the last 3 starts, I think. 2 of those came against Minnesota. They strike out a lot. But before that, you know, he's not getting as many ground balls. He's not getting as many swinging strikes before these last few. I just have very little faith in Tanaka. I thought he was overperforming big time coming into yesterday's game with a 3.01 ERA. Now it's 3.35. I don't know. How do you guys feel? We don't talk about Tanaka a lot.
Yeah, I'd take him to calling him Tanaka because he didn't have any Ks, but he got some last night. I hesitate to hold this against him too much because the Rangers are lava hot right now.
They're great, yeah.
Like, they're arguably the best team in baseball right now.
It sounded like now, you said Slava.
No, lava. Lava hot. That's the hottest hot there is.
They're like European lava. Like
according to Rex Hudler. but I'm a little bit encouraged that he's got 13, 14, and 15 swinging strikes in his last 3 starts. You can't sell him high right now after this start.
No, now you can't. No.
And I understand the argument that you can't start him at home. I probably wouldn't have started him on 1 start against Texas at home, but against, like, if he faces the Rays at home, I'm probably starting him.
Okay, yeah, maybe, but he's given up 9 home runs this year, Tanaka. All of them have come at home.
I believe that. I think it's underrated, that park, and the effect that it's having on the Yankees.
right now.
Well, yeah, I don't think he can because the Yankees, not a very good power hitting team, but they have a good home ISO. So the park, park is a nice little helper.
No doubt. McCann is the best example of that. The guys, if McCann ever gets traded, which he won't, I doubt, he's in trouble, but because he's only good at Yankee Stadium. How about Price and Keuchel, guys? What do you think about them?
I think they're both fine. And, you know, you said not what you want from Keuchel, but I think if things had been going better this season, that you wouldn't be bothered by that start that he had.
But how can you say things are fine? They haven't been fine all year.
Well, this is the problem, Adam. What's your, you're never getting 2015 Dallas Keuchel.
I don't need 2015. I need a guy who has a sub 5 ERA, for God's sake.
Well, he didn't that start.
Well, at least David Price, you know. Like David Price, I've already put out two buy low offers for David Price.
Right. Good move there, yeah.
Yeah, and one of them was rejected because it was ridiculous. I lied. I made one buy low offer for Price. I offered Price for Arrieta a few days ago, and that got rejected. But you know, Price, you know, he had before these last two starts, he was pitching really well. Keuchel has not pitched well at all. I mean, he's had a few good starts. He's had a bad year. There's no other way to frame it with Keuchel.
See, I mean, look, yeah, he's had a bad year in terms of results, but I would not put him in the same category as, say, Chris Archer, because I think there have been some encouraging signs, and particularly this month, Keuchel's got, in June, an 8.4 strikeout per nine ratio, 1.9 walks, so the walks are way down recently. In the last 2 months, he's been giving up home runs, but, you know, he's still a really good ground ball pitcher, so I'm willing to give David Price a free pass because what's killing him is all the home runs, and he's a fly ball pitcher. So I just think that things are definitely bound to turn around for Keuchel. And his biggest problem, I'd say maybe the last quarter of the season, has just been strand rate.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's turned around for Kluber. I mean, why are we going to hold that against Dallas Keuchel?
Well, one thing I want to clarify, and the only reason that I'm not maybe more excited about Archer than I am Keuchel is that I can see a scenario that's very believable where Chris Archer is an ace again.
Right.
This season. I think Dallas Keuchel, like what you're really hoping for is that he is a solid number two. That's an upside.
Right. Okay.
That's upside.
Yeah. Right. That's what we expected coming in.
Okay.
He was being drafted as a top 12 pitcher.
Well, he's gonna disappoint.
Not by us though, right?
Why? Why not? He was right around.
I think he was. I mean, not by me and you, maybe.
Yeah.
But I think like in most drafts, he was definitely going top 15.
He was in top 15. But again, that's so
yeah.
Beyond number 12, that's number two.
I think he's around 24 probably.
No, he's been a real solid number two this year. If you know what I mean.
I do.
I know what you mean.
Oh, okay, good. You guys know exactly what I mean. Pitching stinks to pitching is great. These guys were great yesterday. Are you looking to by any chance to sell either Danny Salazar or Aaron Sanchez? Do you think they're overperforming?
It's funny you should ask that, Adam.
Really? Okay, good.
Because I just wrote an article yesterday on June regression candidates, and Danny Salazar was on that list.
All right, let's hear it.
If I could sell Danny Salazar for a top 13, 14, probably even 15 pitcher, yes, I would do it. And he was very good last night again. It was against the Braves. It's not really all that surprising. Their strikeouts are great. He's got 4.1 walks per nine, and that went down last night. He's got an 85% strand rate.
He's trending positively.
He's got a 252 BABIP against. I think he's probably more the rest of the way like a 3.3, 3.4 ERA guy instead of a 2.2. You cannot walk that many batters unless you're Nolan Ryan and be consistently as good as Salazar has been this year.
Yeah, I kind of that's why I brought it up because of all the walks and because he just had this start against the Braves and three starts ago now it was against the White Sox and it was really good. So he's taken advantage of those matchups. The only thing is, I guess if you want to counter Salazar, he's given up 5.9 hits per nine. That's got to be among the best in baseball, right?
Well, I wonder, do you think a 252 BABIP might have something to do with that?
Well, if you expect the hits to go up, couldn't you expect the walks to go down? Because he's usually been about 2.8-ish or so in walk rate, not 4.5. Yeah.
I think that's possible, yes. But if you're going to just expect him to do everything that he did like he did before, then I would say that he's definitely going to regress because he's never been this good before.
Yeah. All right. Aaron Sanchez, he's already surpassed last year's innings after yesterday's start. But, man, what did he get, like 14 ground balls or something like that? It's a great start at Colorado.
He was outstanding.
Yeah.
The innings worry me.
Yeah, well, we've been talking about that for several weeks. I mean, so it's not a bad time. It's actually a very good time. Maybe the best time to sell Aaron Sanchez after a really good start at Coors Field.
Yeah.
And it's not that I think he's going to be bad the rest of the way. But,
right.
Yeah, if you want to have innings deep in the season, then be a good time to sell him.
Here's your stat and tweet of the day. Your stat of the day is that Baltimore tied the record for most home runs in the month of June. They have hit 55 home runs in June. Your tweet of the day is from Cody Lane. When are you guys going to give Jonathan Scope some love? Everything is pointing to a breakout dating back to last season.
Well, I'd say when I'm going to give Scope some love is like last January, because I'm looking up right now, but I think I had him in my sleepers column.
Yeah, you've always liked Scope.
So, yeah, I mean, not to be a snot about it, but...
But where is he in your second base rankings?
Let's find out, because I don't think it's top 12.
Right. He's not in my top 12. I think the really important thing is he's moved into the number two spot in the batting order. And if he's going to stay there, he's going to produce big time.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday or 2 days ago. It's a deep position, and mm-hmm. it's tough. Like, I'll just give you some names, and you tell me, would you rather have Jonathan Scope or Dustin Pedroia?
Pedroia.
Yeah, Pedroia.
Dozier.
Dozier for sure.
I'm double. Yeah, I do have Dozier ahead of Scope.
Forsyth.
I think I have Scope higher than Forsyth.
No, I'd rather have Forsyth.
Rendon.
So I guess I'm not giving him the love.
Rendon.
Yeah.
Neil Walker.
I'm going to go with Scope.
I think this is where I need to start giving Jonathan Scope some
love. When are you
going to
give Jonathan Scope some love, Al?
Yeah, when I move him ahead of Neil Walker, which I'll do later today. Here we go.
Which would be 15th?
Yes.
Around there. Yeah, I mean, look, Altuve, Cano, Carpenter, Odor, Murphy, Zobrist, Kinsler, D. Gordon, Devin Travis. That Al has Devin Travis very high. LeMahieu, Pedroia, Dozier. It's tough to make him a top 12 second baseman. Doesn't mean we don't like him.
I'd rather have Scope than Travis as well.
Wow. See, I think here's the thing with Scope is that he doesn't walk.
Right.
And I don't really trust the batting average where it's been lately.
Right. But I do trust him to have a lot more power than Travis.
That's where we differ then. Because, okay. Yeah, I think they have similar power. I think over a full season and healthy, both would be in the 25 to 30 home run range.
See, I don't.
And just like you mentioned about Scope, rightly so, Travis is going to have some very good run producing opportunities.
That's true. That part is true. I think Devin Travis shocked himself with how many home runs he hit last year. He's hit 5 this year, and he's got a nice ISO, but I don't think.
But he got off to such a bad start coming off of the shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
After the first 2 weeks or so, he's right back to where he was before he got hurt last year.
Which is kind of reminding me of Will Myers, right? A guy who got back to what he was before an injury last year and just keeps on keeping on. Food for thought. So a couple of guys made their MLB debut yesterday, and I want to know if you have any interest in them. We can help out some owners in deeper leagues. Brock Stewart, 5% owned. Gave up all 5 runs in the second inning, 15 swinging strikes for the Dodgers at Milwaukee, and likely to make another start. And Joel De La Cruz for the Braves.
We've had quite a discussion in the office over whether it's Joel, or Yoel.
Yeah, I have no idea. I tried to look up video. There was no video.
Nope. We could play the matching game, and Adam can guess which one of us had which pronunciation.
Joel Peralta is from the Dominican Republic, and so is Joel De La Cruz, so I'm going to assume that they're both pronounced the same way.
All right, so Heath said Joel. Al definitely said Joel, and Scott, since he's so weird with pronunciation, said Yoel.
definitely Yoel, and acted like, first off, acted like he never heard of the guy, and then acted like he knew it was definitely Yoel. Within like 45 seconds. There's no chance I want any part of Joel De La Cruz.
Yeah, this is most shocking development of the night for sure. I don't have an explanation for it, but I'm not acting on it.
Well, and yeah, to be clear, no, he wasn't that good at all.
One strike.
Way better than I thought.
Yeah, I expected.
You thought it was going to last six innings?
No, I thought he was going to last, like I would have changed the three and the six.
Exactly.
In his line is what I expected. But,
hey, listen, Brock Stewart gives up two of the most unlucky hits you'll ever see in the second inning. Run. And then a three-run homer. I can't really defend that. And then struggled a little bit more in the second inning. But, you know, it was a fairly encouraging start. It seems like the odds are stacked against him. But I just want to say, Brock Stewart did some good things yesterday. 15 swinging strikes and gave up runs in only one of five innings at the Brewers.
I did such a dumb knee-jerk thing watching this start last night.
You picked him up?
I had put in a claim for Stewart in our NL-only Roto League and watched the start. And yeah, just like you said, Adam, looked really good in the first inning, gave up those two bloop hits in the second inning, and then kind of got untracked after he gave up the home run. And then he totally recovered after that.
Right.
But after the home run, I deleted my claim because I thought, okay, he's already given up five runs. He's not getting another start. This is a waste of a roster spot and fab dollars. I thought, okay, well, how about just making a zero fab bid? And I thought, no, it's just a waste of a roster spot. Nobody else bid on him. Yeah. So I could have had Brock Stewart for $0. And I thought this was a really impressive start.
Well, but we don't know what long term looks like for him, right? So it's got to be, if you're going to pick up Brock Stewart, it's got to be you're not dropping anybody of significance.
I wasn't.
It's NL only. We've got so many insignificant players on our rosters.
The player I put in the drop, so there's a little bit of potential cost, was Logan Verrett.
Oh, he stinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty much what I thought when I first made the move.
Yep.
All right, so I have not exactly one-upping, but similar story. I put in a claim for Aaron Judge two nights ago in our auction league when Beltran got hurt. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I checked my email and the waivers had not actually processed yet. But I also was reading the recap after that and they said that the MRI on Beltran was clean. So I canceled the Judge claim and I never got him. I would have gotten him for $0. Nobody picked him up. And then today, this morning, or I guess last night, Heath made the claim. This morning, Heath got him, Aaron Judge, for $0. Heath, you picked up Aaron Judge in like three or four leagues.
Yeah, I had some, I had some openings. I feel like I'd missed on a lot of guys recently, and this is what happens to me. I go like two or three weeks where I don't get anybody that I want, and then there's somebody that I was like, I'm going to get this guy. Because I've just got some guys at the bottom of the roster that I could afford to get rid of.
Okay. Yeah, and the MRI was clean on Beltran, and probably not going to play for the rest of the week because they're going to an NL park, but I don't know. You know, this is the kind of thing that even though the MRI was fine, I don't think it would shock anyone if he ended up on the DL.
And somebody else is going to get hurt. I mean, they've got like six players that are over 40.
Between Ellsbury, Gardner. Yeah, no doubt. Okay, and Jeff Hoffman could be called up soon for Colorado. Any interest in him?
I mean, he's really pitching well in AAA. And it's funny because my knee-jerk reaction when I see a Rockies pitcher AAA is like, oh, he's doing well or not doing well in Colorado Springs. Well, that's Milwaukee's AAA now, but Albuquerque's still also a pretty tough place to pitch. And Hoffman's got 3.49 ERA there with good ratios. So, I mean, I'm always discounting a little bit for anybody coming up to play for the Rockies, pitch for the Rockies, but NL only.
Cool. So we're gonna grade some trades at the end of the show. Until then, we're gonna talk about some bullpen situations and more hitters, some deep league targets. How about, let's go back to Adam Jones. We talked about him earlier. I want to do some this guy or this guy's with Adam Jones. Would you rather have Adam Jones or Ryan Braun?
I'll take Braun.
Who? What?
I'm going to stick with Braun.
And what about you, Al?
Yeah, and I'll take Jones. And the deciding factor there is I trust Jones to stay healthy.
I'm getting real fed up with Ryan Braun. He never plays.
Your Ryan Braun situation.
I know.
There's a lot of funny things about it.
Well, I finally traded him, you know, a few weeks ago for a guy who's a bona fide all-star, one of the best players in baseball. His name's Andrew McCutchen, and I think he's gotten like three hits in the last 3 months or something. But yeah, it's crazy. But I am looking at Ryan Braun's point production for the last 5 weeks, including this week. And he's still, his slash line is still so impressive. 325, 381, 557. But he has not scored more than 17 points in any of the last 5 weeks. Now, after last night's game, he'll probably do that this week. But he just hasn't been productive because he never plays. He sits all the time. He did have an injury. He missed a few games with an injury. But they sit him too much. He's an unproductive player in a points league. It's so freaking annoying. Or any type of weekly format.
Al, if Ryan Braun was ever traded to the Yankees, would we have to just dedicate an entire podcast to Ryan Braun?
I think so.
Okay.
You are so wrong about the way I feel about Ryan Braun. You're thinking of John.
You know what? I could, maybe I'm wrong right now. I'll be right tomorrow. You have a love-hate relationship with Ryan Braun.
You go
back and forth.
Okay, no. Well,
I was going to say, you deal with Ryan Braun like you're a homer, like he's on your home team. So if he actually was on your team.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't. Okay, no.
You're over-emotional about Ryan Braun.
Is it a Miami thing?
No, it has nothing to do with that. He was on three of my six fantasy teams.
Okay, they look alike.
And he was doing so well. We do
Braun's
look alike.
From Miami, right? Went to Miami.
Yeah.
At the same time, same year.
Yes, you're over-emotional about Ryan Braun.
I just want to say something here. The guy is batting .286, .313, .516 in June. It's not an amazing month, but it's pretty damn good. I would almost guarantee he's not even a top 30 outfielder in June. And that's in 91 at-bats for the month. So, I mean, that's not too many at-bats, but it's not that little.
I think you're probably wrong. I think he's probably a top 30 outfielder. 91.
I will guarantee, at least in points leagues, I will guarantee if he's not a top 30 outfielder, I'm going to look right now June, or if he is a top 30 outfielder in points leagues, Heath, you can host the rest of the podcast.
I don't know that anybody really wants that. But it would be kind of funny.
It would be kind of funny, right?
Like, I kind of figure that he is.
Okay, I'm checking right now. June 1st. I'm going to do it in both points and roto, so give me just 1 second here.
That's okay.
You talk about Jake Lamb while I do this, guys. Since May 7th, when Jake Lamb started getting hot, he's the number 4 third baseman in points leagues, number 2 in roto, batting .300 with 14 home runs and 44 RBIs in less than 2 months. Jake Lamb's just been awesome. I know he sits against lefties, but it hasn't mattered in this hot streak. What do you guys think?
Yeah, he's not. So he's no Ryan Braun. Lamb is playing a lot now.
Yeah,
and I'm a dodo for dropping him in our podcast league.
You don't have to just cite like since certain date. His season numbers are extremely impressive. He's got a .592 slug. He's got a .366 on base, 17 home runs. I don't care if he's not good against lefties the way that he's been hitting.
I don't even know if it's that he's not good. He just has not played consistently against them, but I think that is changing.
Yeah.
Oh man. I am so right about this. Not only am I right about this, but I am so right that I feel like I should win some type of award. I will check in Roto as well, but in points leagues, Ryan Braun is like 44th in June.
Okay.
Wow. And can Heath host anyway?
No, it's okay.
And I'll look in Roto now. The next guy to talk about is, we haven't spoken about him since basically he came off the DL. Cameron Maben having a weird year. He's hitting .348 and Maben has 8 steals in, limited games, but, 4 of them came in the first 4 games after he came off the DL. He hasn't really been running much since then. He's actually kind of around Ryan Braun in those, they have the same amount of points in June. So in points leagues, Cameron Maben is about 44th. In June, and I'll check in Roto. But what do you guys think about him? I mean, what kind of player is? What am I saying? You guys talk now.
Yeah, I haven't really been moved to add Cameron Maben anywhere. I think 55% is about right because he should be owned in most Roto leagues, and he probably has no place in a standard points league with 3 outfielders.
Yeah, and he's continued to hit for average, which has surprised me because he got off to that great start. But we've seen him do that before, and then he really cools off. But, no power. So it's basically average and steals. And
probably more deserving of a spot in 12-team roto, mixed roto, than I've given him credit for. But yeah, I just haven't gotten excited.
Okay, I think Ryan Braun is number 42 in roto this month, but it might be 32 because I was kind of counting hastily. But either way, he's outside the top 30. Now, there was a little bit of an injury in there, if I remember. I think, you know.
Yes.
So but it's not like he has 91 at bats. The number one outfielder has 98 at bats in June, and that's Will Myers. So yeah. It's not that big of a thing. It's just, I don't get it.
And Maben is 56% owned, which is, I think, probably very close to or exactly the same as Melvin Upton. And I would rather have Upton because I'm not sure Maben's going to continue to hit for average. And that's really the only advantage that he has over Upton.
Well, I was going to talk about Daniel Murphy.
Amazing.
Is anybody doubting Daniel Murphy at this point?
What is there to doubt? He's great.
He's not in my top three at second base.
Would you rather have Murphy or Odor?
I think I've got Odor ahead.
I think I finally just moved. I think I have him fourth, but I think I finally moved him ahead of Odor. No, I've got him right behind Odor, so fifth at second base.
Keith, were you questioning the other day whether or not Rougned Odor was going to hit 20 home runs?
I don't think I ever questioned that.
Oh, okay,
you are
good.
A professional Odor doubter.
Because he has 15 or 16 now.
Yeah, he's... I'm not a doubter. He's really streaky. That's what he is.
He is very streaky.
Yeah.
I actually have Murphy behind Zobrist, and that's one that I need to reconsider.
Well, yeah, I would think especially in Roto. In an OBP league or a points league, Brent Zobrist is really good. But in Roto, you know, probably you got to go Murphy there. Well, I don't know. You don't have to, but do what you want.
I probably will. But
there you go. In the bullpen.
I'll investigate.
Houston Street got roughed up again. The only candidate I could think of, maybe Cam Bedosian? Because Salas hasn't been very good.
I don't know.
Yeah, they've got bigger problems than Houston Street.
Okay. It was a non-save situation. Senwan Oh pitched. I thought he pitched the 10th. He might have pitched the 11th. I thought he pitched the 10th. Did he give up a run? But anyway,
he did on an error.
Oh, on an error. Okay, an unearned run. He was used as the closer would be used, whereas Segrist pitched the 7th and Broxton pitched the 8th.
Yeah, that's I believe that's back-to-back games where he was used in that situation.
It is.
He did give up a run. It was unearned, but he walked 2 in the inning. I think it's pretty clear that he's the preferred candidate.
Sure. In case there is a setback with Alex Colome, Xavier Cedeño pitched the 9th in a 4-run game. Erasmo Ramirez pitched the 8th, for what that's worth.
Yeah, and that's the sequence that makes the most sense to me. But Kevin Cash said he's going committee, so who knows what would happen the next game.
And Sam Dyson got rocked by the Yankees. He's been pretty good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Deeper leagues, before we grade some trades, Brandon Guyer, Tim Anderson, Zach Eflin, and Jet Bandy. Guyer, Anderson, Eflin, and Bandy are all owned in 10% of leagues or less on CBSSports.com. Do any of these guys strike you as under-owned players?
If you have a daily transaction league, I would say Guyer is my favorite. If not, then I would say Anderson.
Guyer,
both under-owned.
Yeah, that's Tyler Anderson.
Tyler Anderson.
Yeah. Because we've already talked about Tim.
Yes, we have. And that seemed a little low on his ownership.
Yeah.
For Tim.
Why the distinction? Because I just like Guyer the best out of this group.
Definitely period. Guyer. I was going to say because I would love to be able to just have Brandon Guyer on my bench and just start him against lefties.
Yeah, he's got an OPS over 1,000 against lefties, Brandon Guyer. 10% on. Okay, guys. Grade the trade. Fantasy baseball at CBSI.com. Here we go. From Chris, dear Dr. James and Andrews, I'm in a 12-team points league with 30-man rosters and 8 keepers. Give Mats, get Sano.
I'll say C- on that, and it might be a D+ if Mats didn't have the bone chips.
I'm going to go C+. I think I would rather have Sano than Mats. But just barely.
I mean, we both think it's a pretty close to even deal.
Yeah.
You just come out on a different side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Tyler, grade the trade. Dear Troy, Jose, and Trevor.
Last three Rocky shortstops.
Give up Mitch Moreland, Carlos Martinez, and Eugenio Suarez. Mitch Moreland, Carlos Martinez, and Eugenio Suarez. Get back Carlos Beltran, Michael Saunders, and Hanley Ramirez. One more time. You're giving up Moreland, Carlos Martinez, and Eugenio Suarez. You're getting Beltran, Saunders, Michael Saunders, and Hanley.
You really need some nuance.
Oh, you mean here. Details about the team?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I would like to know what the pitching situation is, but I think it's a win no matter what.
Oh, I think C-.
If he's really set for pitching, he can really afford to lose Carmart.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I think it's a B, but I think in the proverbial vacuum, it's a C plus.
I'm going to go C minus because I mean, you're giving up the best player in the deal, in my opinion.
I agree. But, I think Saunders is pretty close second.
I don't.
Not buying it. You're not buying Saunders.
Wait, you think Saunders is better than Beltran?
Well, oh, yeah, I do think Saunders is better than Beltran.
Because of the injury?
No, because Saunders has been a top 30 outfielder, and he's on a team that's giving him a lot of run-producing opportunities and plays in a park in the division that's really boosting his power numbers.
Beltran's been a top 15 outfielder, and he's really been doing it since the All-Star break last year.
Well, I think that Saunders is about, and I probably need to change this in the rankings too because I don't think I have him this high. I think Saunders is about the number 30 outfielder.
Yeah, I don't have him near that high.
And I don't think Beltran should be that high.
Okay. Next one, ready?
Yeah.
From Alfred. Grade the following trade in a 12-team head-to-head categories league. Give up Will Myers and Wilson Ramos. Get Bryce Harper.
Oh my God. A minus.
Yeah, I'd give that an A plus.
Not an A plus. No, it's not an A plus.
Yeah, I give it an A plus. I get to give the grades here, Adam. You don't get to override my grades.
You're not the dean.
If you had been right about Ryan Braun in the month of June, I would let you give the grades. This is from Grizz. Hey, Taylor, Kim, and Yeezy. I have no idea.
Well, I know who Taylor is. I mean, it's...
Oh, it's probably like Taylor
Swift. Is this Kardashian-related?
Who the hell is Yeezy?
Isn't that Kanye West?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, right, so this is the Kanye West...
Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
Oh, good call.
Oh, yeah, this is that thing. Grade the trade, 10-team...
We're going to let you finish.
10-team head-to-head points league. Give up Cole Hamels and Adam Duvall. Get Dallas Keuchel and Francisco Lindor. He's good at outfield. He needs a shortstop. So he gives up Hamels and Duvall. He gets Keuchel and Lindor. Points league. That's tough.
It is really tough.
B minus.
Yeah, I agree. B minus.
Last one from Seth. In a 16-team head-to-head points league, I give up Jacob deGrom. I get D. Gordon, Ben Revere, and Blake Snell. 16 teams. Get D. Gordon, Ben Revere, and Blake Snell for Jacob deGrom.
Oh, gosh. This is in a roto league. I would, you know, maybe consider giving this a decent grade, but in a points league, it's
D plus.
D. It's pretty bad.
D plus and D. And this guy, Seth, must have had a really hard time with this podcast because he says, Alan Heath sound very similar to me.
I told you, I've been fooled listening to our podcast.
Al is Al. If somebody says something nice, it was Al.
What is going on with this Kim Kardashian, Taylor Swift, Kanye West thing?
That's not no. That's,
what?
That no.
What is it? Fake? We can't talk about it.
This is not for us.
It's very salacious. Jeez, where have I been? I live under a sports rock. My goodness. Okay, that's it for the show. I gotta go to Google. See you later, everybody. We'll talk to you on Friday. We'll have a mailbag show the 4th of July that we'll record tomorrow afternoon. So send in your emails. Thanks a lot. Don't let the baby scare ya.
Machado or Bono or Noah.